بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد سورة البينة is the longest سورة in the last 20 or 22 سورة or so but inshallah hopefully we will be able to finish it today. Now in سورة البينة what is the topic? So in سورة البينة is split into two halves. The first half discusses in summary what the condition of the Ummah was like before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, what happened? And in particular, it mentions regarding the Jews and the Christians, those people who already had some form of a divine religion before. And then the second part discusses, you can say, the end result, the outcome of different groups in the hereafter. So, bismillah, we won't go through the entire translation because it's a lengthy surah, we'll take portions of it and thereafter explain it. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين حتى تأتيهم البينة. Those who disbelieve from amongst the people of the book and the polytheists, the mushrikeen, were not expected to desist, to stop from their wrong beliefs unless there comes to them a clear proof. رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة. A messenger from Allah who recites the purified scrolls. فيها كتب قيمة, containing right and straight writings. Now what are these? In these verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first mentioning what was the condition before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from time to time sends Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. As we know, they come with the religion. So before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, many Anbiya had come, all except one. And but unfortunately, through the passing of time, their religions had become distorted. So Torah and Judaism, which Musa alayhi salam brought, was there, but it had become distorted, vastly distorted. Injil and Christianity, which Isa alayhi salam had brought, same thing. And there were many other Anbiya. We just know these famous names and the names of these famous books. Otherwise, there were many other Anbiya alayhi salam. The religions had become distorted. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, says that imagine no religion has come to you. No Nabi has come to you. You haven't heard about any Nabi. Still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every person the capability to understand Tawheed, to understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand that Allah is there and Allah is one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given everyone the capability inside here, whether a Nabi comes to him or not. But of course, a person, he has to want to look for the truth. He has to have this worry that I need to find the truth. And if he does, then this intellect has that capability within it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that before the time of, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, number one, the other religions had become so distorted from the original form. The other books had become so distorted. The condition of the people was so bad that there wasn't a hope that other than a handful of people. We do find incidents before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, that there were people, they didn't have a religion because they didn't know what salah was, they didn't know what zakat was, but they understood tawheed and they held fast to it. But other than a few individuals, the world at large, there was not a hope that, you know, they're going to accept guidance, they're going to come closer to guidance. حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a clear proof. Meaning in the form of a Nabi, in the form of a book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in one verse painting the picture that this was the picture of the world. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining the proof that he sent, which is رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو صُحُفًا مُطَهَرًا. A messenger from Allah, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with the messenger came a book as well, who recites the purified scrolls. Now what does it mean, recite the purified scrolls? Now the purified scrolls of course refers to the Quran. And scrolls here means parchment, pieces of paper or whatever else you write on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he recites, number one, scrolls, pieces of parchment, and number two, they're purified. So what do these two words mean? So the first thing to understand is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never read from a piece of parchment or a scroll. He was illiterate, like we said. But this was, a foretelling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this Quran which he has come with, even though in his time it's been transmitted in verbal form, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading, Sahaba learning, they are reading to someone else, they are learning. But soon a time will come when this will take the form of parchment, of scrolls or of a book, and it will spread in the whole world. And that is exactly what happened. And number two, these are purified. Purified means that every single thing which the Quran says, you can't find any fault in it. That, oh, this is in the Quran, but you know, it's only for the benefit of the Nabi. Like if we imagine that a religion was made by a human, then of course that religion would be made according to what benefits him. Why else would a person do it? It is in a, again a following. Then people give me money, so then make this avenue that, you know, if you in this religion you have to give regular donations to the imam, you have to give regular donations to this person, etc. But you can look through the entire deen of Islam, unless you misunderstand the ruling and you don't get it clarified, you will not come across a ruling where you will be able to point a finger against it that this is deficient. No, every single ruling is pure. That is one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And thereafter he said, فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمًا. Kutub normally means books, but here the ulama have said kutub doesn't mean books, it means writings and rulings. So in these scrolls, in this Quran, there are straight rulings. What does straight mean? So if you have a stick and you plant it into the, you put it into the ground, so it can be crooked. So if it's crooked, it's leaning to one side. And the other option is it's upright and it's straight. It's been put in properly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that every single ruling in this book is upright, it's straight. It's moderate, it's balanced. This Quran is, every single ruling of it is completely just. Someone might open the Quran and think that, no, the Quran favors this group. The Quran favors men, or the Quran favors women, or the Quran favors Arabs, or whatever. But if he goes to the ulama and gains a correct explanation, he will be forced to admit, whether he says it to them or not, that every single ruling in the Quran is just, it's perfectly fair, it's proportionate. If we had time, I would give you plenty of examples. But unfortunately, we are short for time here. So that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, what was the condition of the world before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and when he came, what did he come with? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning something else as a lesson to all of us. What is that? Now look, put the mushrikeen to one side, the people who didn't have a divine religion at all. Let's look at the Jews and the Christians. The Jews and the Christians, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, they used to talk about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. Because it was in the books. They would say, a Nabi is going to come. And he's going to be the final Nabi. He's going to be the greatest Nabi. We're going to follow him. His deen is going to be victorious. And through with him, we'll be victorious. The Jews in particular used to say. And the Christians as well. So all the Jews and the Christians, they had their squabbles. They had their disputes. Even within Jews, there were different groups. And within Christians, by then already, there had become countless number of groups. But they all agreed on this. So before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, they all agreed that the final Nabi is coming, he's going to be on haq, and we're going to follow him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that what happened when he turned up? وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. And those who were given the book, those who were given the book means they had knowledge of a book of Allah beforehand, the Jews or the Christians or any other religion, did not disagree, but after the clear proof came to them, the clear proof in the form of the Nabi, in the form of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran came, and they didn't just have mention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a Nabi is going to come, they had a full description of him. The Quran says in another place, how concise was this description in their books of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. When they saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they recognized him just like they would recognize their own children. So that's how concise it was. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, then they disputed in him. Some of them accepted, some Jews accepted Islam, some Christians also accepted Islam, but many of them, in fact the majority of them, didn't. Why didn't they accept Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just mentioned, how shocking is it that they did? But why didn't they accept Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in another place, that it was nothing but stubbornness. Stubbornness, why? Different reasons. For some it was the ego. That, oh, we Christians. Christians were not, usually Christians were non-Arabs. Similarly with Jews. So we Christians, we Banu Israel, we this clan. And then this Nabi has come, but he's from the Arabs. So we'll have to become followers of an Arab, a person who, you know, the Arabs, we didn't give them any status. We didn't think anything of them. Now suddenly we're following them. We're following one of them. Or it was a case of, we've been following this all this time. This is the, now he's saying you have to do this. It was stubbornness that stopped them. Stubbornness, ego. For some it was jealousy. That why in the Arabs, why not in us? But whatever the reason, the stubbornness stopped them. So before we go ahead, this gives us a very valuable lesson. That sometimes we are Muslims, alhamdulillah. In Iman, this is not a problem for us. But sometimes it happens that maybe we thought this was right, so we were doing it. Or maybe whatever, we were doing something, and then we get told it's wrong. Or we get told you're doing it wrong. And then it's a challenge for every person. Because then a person has to take it at that time he feels that I've been humiliated. I'm doing it and I have to admit it's wrong. No, a person is not being humiliated. He gets elevated in the eyes of Allah. And then he gets elevated in the eyes of the creation as a result as well. But at that time it feels very difficult. Oh, that I have to admit I'm wrong, number one, and I have to change what I am doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is what happened to them. Ahead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing this by saying that if they looked closely, then the foundations of the deen which they're on right now, of the true deen, of the true aspects of Judaism, of true aspects of Christianity, the foundations are the same as this new deen. So if this was it, that, oh, it's a completely different change, we have to change. The foundation is the same. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. Whilst they were not ordered but to worship Allah, making their submission exclusive for Him with no deviation, and to establish salah and pay zakah. That is the way of the straight religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that all these major and fundamental aspects were already in their current religion. Maybe that distorted some of it, but they were there in some form or another. Number one, worship Allah. Number two, make the submission exclusive to Him. That means don't worship anyone else but Allah. With no deviation means with full sincerity. And number two, to establish salah. So to establish salah, so they had some form of salah or another. To pay zakah, they had some form of zakah or another. And broadly speaking, this means to use your body in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to use it. And to use your wealth in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to use it. This is the crux of the new religion which has come to you. And that was the crux of your old religion as well. So why the confusion? Or why the hesitance rather? ذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ That is the straight religion. Now, when a person, he puts a barrier in front of deen. Look, so one is, to understand what is going on ahead, you will have to understand this. That look, there is one person who's not understood haqq yet. For whatever reason, he's not. You can explain to him, you can make him understand, etc. But one person's understood haqq. Maybe it's the fact that he's not got iman and he's understood that iman is haqq. Maybe he's a mu'min, but it's some ruling of deen. But he puts a barrier in front. Whatever it is. Now, until he's not ready to remove that barrier, it's very difficult. So ahead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stopped giving da'wah to them. And he's saying that, look, this is the end result now. Jannah and Jahannam. Now if they want to obey, they can obey. إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية إن الذين This is the first verse. We'll read that first. Surely those who disbelieve from amongst the people of the books and the polytheists will be in the fire of Jahannam, in which they will be living forever. Those are the worst of all human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that. And thereafter he mentioned the righteous people. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية. As for those who believed and did righteous deeds, they are the best of all human beings. Now these two verses I mentioned, if we have time at the end, we will come back to one point on there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the two groups. Those people who don't have iman, those people who have iman and they're practicing as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a little bit of detail of Jannah. جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن ذلك لمن خشي ربه. Their reward with the Lord, with the Rabb, is gardens of eternity. beneath which rivers flow, in which they will be abiding forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a brief description of Jannah. And then he said, Allah is well pleased with them and they are well pleased with Him. What does that mean? That means they have reached Jannah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, of course. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith it comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an announcement when they come in Jannah, that now I am pleased with you and I will never become displeased with you. And they are pleased with Allah, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them whatever they want. So every single desire of theirs will be fulfilled, so they will be totally pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave that description of Jannah. Then he said in the final verse, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. That reward is for him who has awe of his Lord, of his Rabb. Now, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. That reward, Jannah, is for the one who has awe of his Lord, of his Rabb. Now, awe, with the word awe in the English language, when it is mentioned, then it means that a person, he has the greatness, the status of someone in his mind. Now, the Arabic word is khashiyah. And the reality is that this word khashiyah cannot be translated in English very easily. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Hafizahullah, has used the word awe because that is the closest you get. Otherwise, what is khashiyah mean? Khashiyah means that a person has fear of disobeying someone. But the reason for that fear of disobeying someone is because he has the love and the greatness, the status of that person in his heart. Let me give you an example. So to some degree you will understand. There is one child, one teenager who doesn't disobey his father. But the reason he doesn't disobey his father is because his father is very harsh. He knows that if my father said be home by 11, if I come home late, then no pocket money for a week. So this person fears his father. But he doesn't fear his father because he has a love for his father. He has the status that it's my father in his heart. No, he's scared of the punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about that person. That fear of Allah is also beneficial to a certain degree. But to become totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person needs this level of fear. What is that? That on the other side you have another child, another teenager. So his father says that be home for 11. And he knows that my father, if I come home late, he's not going to do anything. The only thing that will happen is he will become displeased. But in his heart, number one, he has love for his father, real true love for his father. And number two, he has the status that, it's my father. He looks after me, he's done a lot for me. This person, he will obey his father 100%. The first person, if he thinks he can squirrel his way out, I'll give this excuse that, my friend made me late or this or that, he will do it. But the second person, 100 barriers will come in front of him. His friend will say, the dessert place is just around the corner. It'll take another 5 minutes. He says, no, I know my dad wants me to home by this time. In fact, if his dad doesn't even say it, that be home for 11, but he knows in his heart and mind, my dad wants me to be home by this time, he'll still carry it out. The level of obedience of the second one will be of a different level. He will be totally obedient. He will want to be obedient to his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is saying that a person needs to do this, that he needs to create the love and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. How does a person do this? By sitting with those people who have these things, by talking about the love, the greatness of Allah, by listening to the Quran, to the Ahadith. Person sits with the people who have these qualities in that, then these will naturally rub off onto him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring these qualities into our life. I mentioned that there is one point left, but this point will come in another surah as well, so we'll discuss it there because we are out of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and therefore thereafter practice upon it. Ameen wa khudu da'an. Alhamdulillah.